Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in you. It is one of the precious ones of the common faith, that ran down to the theory, even with arrows, and went down to the skirts of his arm. As a few of them, and as a few that have set him upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded to possess it, even life forevermore. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in you.
Once upon a time, and at all times, a man stood at the gate of his life. And as people came by, he spoke to them, "Hello," or merely grunted, "Ugh, what a day," or looked the other way, back at himself. He stood at the gate to his life, and for some people, he opened the gate and invited them in. "Come on in, let's get to know each other." Sometimes he was afraid that if he invited some people in, they would take over his life and tell him what to think and what to feel. So, just about the time he started to open the gate, on second thought, he slammed it shut real hard and real fast. Sometimes he was so busy, he felt he couldn't even take time to open the gate to his own child. "Can't you see I'm awfully busy with important things? Come back again another time." So his child was never sure whether he was a welcome part of his father's life or not. When some people came along, he put on spectacles he had made a long time ago. So when these people came near, they looked threatening and not quite human. No wonder he shouted over the gate, "Go away and don't come near me. You're not quite human anyway." Sometimes he was so angry that the noise of his anger drowned out what the other person was saying, and he was quite deaf and shut up in his own little jail. Sometimes he was so anxious to talk, though, he leaned way over and almost overwhelmed people with what he wanted to say. The trouble was, he forgot to open the gate and invite them in. They could hardly get a word in edgewise, and left without his ever knowing what they thought and what they felt. And as we have said, sometimes he kept looking back at himself and never saw the other person who was there. Nothing of the other person ever got into his life. His life was filled up with himself. There was no room in it except for someone he could use. Once in a while, he did let other persons in, but immediately grabbed them up so he could lead the visitors where he wanted them to go and so he could control what they did. Then afterward, he'd wonder why he never really got to know these people. But now and again, the man opened the gate and another person came in with everything that he was. And for the time being, each was the whole world for the other. In this kind of experience, he discovered the difference between being with a person and being alongside him, and that the difference between these two relationships was what makes people persons. This man began to realize that the number of people he had invited into his life to be with him and not just alongside him determined a lot how satisfying life was to him, and how big a person he became. He walked out where other people lived, hoping to be invited into their lives. As he came near a person, he usually tried to fix his face so that he looked like everybody else, or just like the person he was about to meet, or the person who would impress the fellow he was about to meet. Often he had to put on a mask, for he just couldn't get his own face to look right. He thought then that he was all fixed, but sometimes the mask would slip down, and there he was as he really was. So he'd practically have to run away from that place or that person. He got so he was afraid to get acquainted with those kind of people. Sometimes he'd come up and start talking with another person. It seemed as if this fellow spent most of his time saying, "No, no, no, I don't think that's a very good idea. No, I don't believe I would do that." So when he went near people like this, He was careful to wear the right mask so they wouldn't know what he really thought and felt and wanted to do. That way, he figured they wouldn't have a chance to say no. Next door lived a person who criticized him almost every time they met. This made him feel very small. Every time they met, he felt himself shrinking in size. So, in order to keep from disappearing altogether, he usually stayed away from this kind of person, too. But one day, he got so mad and swelled up to a giant size and fairly exploded at his criticizer. Who do you think you are, anyway? Do you always do the right thing? Furthermore, you've never listened long enough to understand my side of the story. You don't understand me at all. He came again and again to people who seemed to prize him. Persons like this seemed to be saying, I'm all for you. You're making an honest try to do the best you can. But as I see it, you just missed the boat at this point. After being with persons like this, he felt more capable of handling life, more able to stand up to the world instead of all shriveled and collapsed on the inside. Now, when he walked out where other people lived, he tried to see them as they really were. Sometimes he couldn't quite make out just what kind of person lived there. Was the fellow worried about something? Or mad? Or just plain disagreeable? It was almost impossible to figure out how to get acquainted with that fellow. As he moved around, he met people who wore masks, just as he had when he was afraid to let people know who he really was. He didn't step through the gate which they seemed to open, for he never knew when he was meeting them or what they were pretending to be. He could never quite understand who they were and what they valued, so they just chattered together at the entrance. For no one ever tells his important feelings to a mask. He only tells them to those he recognizes as fellow human beings, and only when he's pretty sure he knows what kind of persons they are. One day, this man thought over all his experiences to see what he could learn from them. He decided that life was good when he opened his world and people came in and visited and got to know him. When he took off his mask and the other fellow could see who he was, where he stood and what he valued, things began to happen. Life was also good when he entered into another person's thoughts and experiences, not to criticize and direct them, but as an honored guest, walking around, enjoying and understanding what was there. He thought back. People had enjoyed being in his world when he was willing to enter into theirs. People had invited him into their world when he had let them know him. Then a revolutionary thought struck him. The kind of person I am has a lot to do with the opening of both these gates. Of course, I can never know the other fellow except as he chooses to reveal himself to me. But I have to be the kind of person he'll feel free to reveal himself to. When I give the other person my whole attention and not just a part of it, then for a moment, we're the whole world for each other. When, part of the time at least, I allow the other to walk where he wants to walk instead of taking him by the hand and directing and controlling him, parts of my world become his and parts of his become mine. He began to see that this was the way God meant life to be. He opening his world and inviting others in. They opening their world and inviting him in. And all of them sharing experiences with one another. Now each remained in charge of his own life. But in his choices and actions, each took into account the world of others too. This man realized that to enter into each other's world, to understand another, and to be members one of another, was one of the ways of Christian living.
Let us stand for the reading of the Litany of Brotherhood. We affirm that we cannot be at peace with God without being at peace with our brothers.
The prophet spoke doom to the community of faith, which refused to share its blessings with its brothers. Yet, man learns from history that he does not learn from history. In arrogance, we have said,
and in despair that haunts our cities, and in the death of hope for those who languish in captivities to our pharaohs, is the dryness of soul which is uniting the fire in our times.
In our wickedness we have slain Moses. Like Abel, his voice cries to us from the earth itself.
Lying prophets speak peace when there is no peace.
Any dream is unworthy if it degenerates into a sentiment.
If we can give hope to the hopeless, we may save the soul of our age. If not,
the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Yea, and to be the means of that liberty itself.
To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Something there is that doesn't lock a wall.
Whether it divides Berlin, whether it is iron or bamboo.
Whether it is political, social, racial, national, or denominational.
Something that doesn't like a wall?
No, someone that doesn't like a wall.
Christ is our peace.
And has broken down the dividing wall of hostility.